When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And... Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
What do you think are some similarities you see that Super Bowl team to where this current team you're on now?
The similarities are the fact that we're going through the stuff early. How are you going to respond? And at the same time, when you respond, are you going to be that resilient team, or are you going to be that team that give us? Right now, we're going through some stuff right now, and it's just continuing to lay our foundation and build that character, build that armor is going to be at the right time, and all of a sudden it's like boom, 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 and everything's just going to click and click, and we're just going to be flying, and before you know it, you know, we're going to be holding that Lombardi at the end of the season.
I'm hyped. I love it.
And it's intercepted by Marlon Humphrey.
Marlon Humphrey is without a doubt in the conversation to be the best corner in football.
How are we doing, guys? We are here with Josh Bynes, Super Bowl champ, 12-year veteran. Josh, it's great to have you here, man. How are we doing?
I appreciate you having me, Marlo, of course.
You know, I want to start off strong here. You know, we both went to college.
Mm-hmm.
You went to this place in the Plains.
Mm-hmm.
I went to this other place in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Unfortunately.
Obviously, there's a big divide between those two teams.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask, since I have you here, why did you choose the worse side?
Yo. I chose the best side. I chose the best side. You know, I got my ring to prove that one. You know what I mean? You know, you know what I'm saying? You know, I got that one to prove. So I chose Auburn because that was a place where I went. That was home for me. It was just family atmosphere, unlike the other school I've heard. But, you know, it's just a great place of, you know, for family, friends, and everybody. And obviously, I met my wife there, and it's just, you know, that was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
Wow. I can't say. I took a visit there.
And you loved it.
No,
you did. You enjoyed it.
I didn't. But I will say, I did feel the family thing. I was
here you go.
Oh, this is.
You know, you loved it.
I did feel it. I actually was supposed to go on another visit. And it was the kick six.
So
that would have been rough. Mm. But since we're on the topic, I want to talk about that national championship you won. Mm. When I think of the best collegiate players of all time, I put Cam Newton in my top 10.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I remember actually I was at one of the games. My brother was playing in Arkansas at the time. So I guess you guys were both playing college at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was thinking we were going to upset you guys, and then Cam Newton just did some damage. You were out there somewhere. I was thinking about you at the time. But talk to me about that team. What do you think made that team, you know, so special?
That team was special because, like, everybody was united. Like, you know, Cam had a bunch of things going on that year, of course, and all these other things going on. You know, Bama had they scam Newton signs up and all that crazy nonsense. And but we just united, backed him up 100%, and we went through a lot of adversity. That year was just rough. We got through some games where it was three-point games, the last second games, a couple turnovers at the last few minutes, and even the Iron Bowl that year.
Yeah, that was,
you know, what was it, 20-something, three, whatever that score was. And then Cam just did his thing, and boom, 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 we ended up winning in Tuscaloosa, by the way. And obviously we know what happened the rest of the way that year.
That was rough.
That was rough. But that team was just... Like, we had to envision soon as, Matt Joe workouts. In the spring, we all knew that we had the talent. And when Cam came, we was like, no, we're winning the national championship. We don't care what it takes, but we knew we was going to win the national championship that year.
Do you have any memories, like, stories that stick out from that year? I know it seems like college, there's a lot that goes on. But is there anything that specifically sticks out about that year?
that sticks out. Oh, man. Oh, now you got me going to archives. You know, that was so long before.
Gotta dig deep. Dig deep here.
Some things that stick out the most from that year. For me personally, you know, I had my two picks against Arkansas that year. You know what I mean?
Two.
Back-to-back drives at that. That was one of those games. Okay, it was like knocked out, who was the quarterback? Ryan Mallett,
Ryan
I believe.
Ryan Mallett.
And then this other quarterback who ended up getting drafted to Wilson, I believe. Can't remember his name. But anyway, he came in and started launching. We was like, what in the world?
Oh, gosh.
This dude was getting off.
I hate when that happens with the backups. You're like, whoa, what
we was
doing?
Like, oh, we finna blow these guys out. It's gonna be an easy win. And he was out of nowhere, just boom, boom, dimes. And just that fourth quarter came wrong. We had a Zach Etheridge got a fumble recovery touchdown. I got a pick. And then the next drive, pick again. And we ended up winning the game by whatever it was. But yeah, that was definitely something memorable from that year for sure. At least me personally.
Two picks.
Yeah, two picks in a game, yeah.
Yeah. I think about the one I won in Arizona. We were going against Deshaun Watson, and it was like, it was just, we really couldn't stop him. We were just trying to stop the bleeding. So my thing was like, I just remember, it wasn't even me, it was Kenyon Drake. He took back that kickoff return, and that was like, the defense was just like, you know, because we needed that one, so it was crazy to look back on that and just one or two plays kind of just win those games.
Oh, but yeah, for sure.
So you go on to NFL, you go undrafted.
Yeah, undrafted.
How does it? You left after you won the national championship. You left that same year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How was it dealing with? I mean, everybody, you know, wants to get drafted. How it goes doesn't really matter if you get drafted or not. Mm-hmm. You go from that super high to win that national championship to going undrafted. Kind of tell me how that kind of transition kind of goes.
Oh man, it was tough. Like you said, I was on a super high and won a national championship, and you know, I still had a good year, still led team tackles, all that. It wasn't the same statistics as far as they say tackles and stuff because our offense was so much better. Right. So we weren't on the field as much as I was my junior year where I had 100 and some tackles or whatever. And just so happens, you know, obviously I went undrafted. It was a rough process, just trying to figure everything out. And I had my oldest son at the time, so I'm like, I don't have any money, and we had the lockout year going on, so I'm like, so it was, the struggle was so real, so me and my wife were just trying to figure out, you know, every little thing. She was working, I'm training, working out, trying to, you know, hopefully get through this lockout, so hopefully I get a team opportunity, and obviously Baltimore was a team that called me as soon as the lockout ended. It was like sometime during training camp time, like August, and it was like, hey, we want to bring you in, And I was like, what better place I would want to go to? You know, Ray Lewis and all those great linebackers that's been a part of his organization. And of course, as soon as I heard that, I'm flying right on out. And literally, and that's just how it went.
Man, I didn't even think about the lockout. Mm-hmm. Tell me how, like, so from the draft all the way to training, there was no communication between?
No, nothing. It was nothing. So the draft started, it was like the first couple picks or whatever it was. And that was it, locked out, shut down. So we couldn't do anything, no communication until August,
gosh.
I think it was, that year. And so as soon as I got a call, like I got called at 7:00 at night, that morning I was on the flight to Baltimore because everything happened that fast. And then went from morning, physicals, and then we had to run a conditioning test. You believe that?
Ravens have not changed at all. Ravens haven't changed at all. Wow,
hey, yo,
that's
so
consistency.
Look, so let me tell you this. You know, this is funny, bro. So we get in, we're doing physical stuff, right? So during the process, a bunch of guys, there's so many guys. And then somebody spread the rumor and said, hey, yo, I heard we got to do a conditioning test. And I was like, nah, we ain't got to do it. We just got here. Like, we're doing physical. There's no way we're going to run a conditioning test, right? Yep. Of course, we do physical, do all that stuff like that, and then they bring us here. And all of a sudden, he was like, y'all got to do a conditioning test. We was like, what is that? And of course, you know, I could have said 6-1 fit. You know it. Same test, same every day. So I did the 5, and that's 6-1. And right, you know how it is.
You
got to get across the line at the time. Yeah. I was like, They said, you didn't make it, right? I was like, my heart was crushed. And then, of course, I don't know if I probably could say this, but so they let us know, they was like, look, if you guys don't pass this test by the next morning, right before the special teams meeting, we pretty much let you go. And I kid you not, I passed the test, a bunch of guys passed, and then of course the guys who didn't pass that morning was the special team meetings, those guys who didn't, they were not in there. And I was like, maybe it's just special teams, but no, they weren't there at all. So it was only however many linebackers they brought that year, it was only me and this other guy. that was only there for the linebackers at training camp that year.
I respect the Ravens' consistency.
the Ravens, you know.
I really do. I mean, I respect the Ravens' consistency.
Yes, bro, it was real.
Conditioning test off the...
Off the jump, yes. Yeah, got you do real fast.
Yeah, that conditioning test will make you a man for sure. I remember there's been some people that I always know the certain people that are going to fail.
Oh, yeah.
I'll talk to them in the offseason and be like, have you been practicing conditioning test? Where you go, man? They're like, no, I'm coming. And I'm just like, and then I come in the indoor, look at them, and they be coming in late. I'm like, bro, you just have to have your mind right.
Yeah.
And you can do it.
Oh, bro. Yeah, for sure.
So you said one of the decisions that went into you signing with the Ravens is, you know, thinking of guys like Ray Lewis and company. Mm-hmm. What was kind of like your first impressions of seeing, you know, such established players already?
Yeah.
When you first come in as a rookie?
I'll never forget it. It was my first, like, real practice. And when I tell you, you had Ray, you had Double J, Jared Johnson, you had Ed Reed. I mean, you had the whole shebang. And Haloti, Suggs. I mean, it was started with the first call. Like, once they said the first call, I mean, all you heard was close left, boom, 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 boom. So much communication. When the most happened, it was boom, 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 boom. And it was like, I was like, well, this is, like, everybody's saying it. Yeah. I was so used to being the only person that did that in college. But then, of course, I got a little nervous when I came here. I'm like, this is Ray. This is all these guys who are so, you know, they are Hall of Famers. And then, of course, I go out there, and it was Dean Pease. It was Chuck Pagano, but Dean Pease is my linebacker coach. And I'm out here saying, close left, kind of low. And then he looked at me, he was like, I know you louder than that, you know, going on. I was like, you better demand this team. You a linebacker, da, da, da. And I was like, he's like, pretty much, you know, I know you're a leader, how you was in college, stuff like that. Lead this team the same way. And I went out there the next time, I was loud, and I've been that way ever since. And that's why it kind of irks me when, if a guy says they don't hear anything, because I'm usually the loudest guy on the field, because I take that personally.
So you think some of that, because obviously playing with you, you be telling me, where's the nickel at? Where's the nickel?
All the time.
And, I mean, you have it out, like, in no time, you know. Would you contribute some of your leadership of this defense kind of to that, to seeing what you kind of...
Oh, yeah, for sure. They set the standard. And then that standard is just what it takes to be such a great defense and a great leader and all that and then some. And you see those great players that you play with. And, like, I love Ed Reed to death, and that's my guy. And I could text him right now, and he knows it. It's my brother. And to show how to lead this team, how to, you know, what's the words I'm looking for, just demand the team and just go about your business the right way each and every game, each and every week, and how to study the film, how to watch the game. It's just a crazy thing to be a part of, and I was just blessed to be one of those guys to be a part of and still be playing right now. And for me, it's just about giving it to all you guys, everybody. So, you know, obviously, y'all continue to pass those things down, because that's what, you know, obviously inevitably led to us, you know, obviously won the Super Bowl in my second year.
Yeah, winning that Super Bowl your second year, I know every Super Bowl team has leaders that help them get along the way. Mm-hmm. And so that Super Bowl year, I've heard a lot of different stories from different people. It sounds crazy. It just sounds crazy. It's the whole week and the season. I know the season was ups and downs, and then it just kind of just went. But speaking about the Super Bowl week specifically, I know a lot goes down. I know you made the game-winning tackle. You know, it's never over until it's over. Never over until it's over. But what do you remember about, you know, that team? What do you remember about that game? I mean, there's a ton to go off of that game. Just the lights off.
And everything. Oh, yeah, the game
was
crazy.
What do you kind of remember the most about that season, that year, that you'll just never forget?
The part I feel like I will never forget in the moment that happened was Ray Rice. When it was fourth and a gazillion in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
San Diego, not Los Angeles Chargers, San Diego Chargers. And out of nowhere, check down, and it went for like a yard or inch or whatever, right past first down. And we end up winning that game in San Diego. Nice block by Anquan Boldin, I believe it was. And after that game, and everybody, you could tell, like, it was so, like we knew in that moment, like, this team is capable of so much more than, you know, what we are right now. We know we're capable of a Super Bowl team, and everybody bought in. Like, we know we're capable of going to the playoffs and getting in and winning the Super Bowl, but we know we have to go through these trials and tribulations and all these kind of things. And we were so resilient that year. And we knew, even at the last, five games, we lost four of the last five, I believe, that year. We started off 9-2. We're you know, humming. And all of a sudden we get injuries and like, you know, like every year things happen and we lost four out of the last five, but we finally won that one against the Giants to get us in the playoffs. And all guys talked about was like, look, we're gonna get guys healthy, and when we get in, we're going to run the table. And when I tell you we said that and we actually did that, it was just the craziest thing ever. Like, and God, like, we was like, we believed in each other over and over. Even when we was losing those couple games at the end of the year, the skies were still like, we still believe. We're going to get this done. And overcoming all this adversity, we're still going to come out on top. And it was just amazing to see how we still end up winning that year.
Yeah, speaking into existence, it's crazy to hear that. That's your, like, most memorable memory. Because I asked Eric Weddle about that same play, and he was the one that got blocked by the phone. And he thought he got, like, knocked out, didn't know what happened. He said, by the time he comes to consciousness, he's like,
I forgot it was Weddle.
We won the game. He thought they won the game. And he was all good. They were like, dope, we lost.
Yeah, he definitely took the L.
So that's hearing that story from him is the exact opposite, but that's just funny. So Super Bowl champ, undrafted, 12 years. What do you think that's kept you around so long? I know for me, it's like, it's weird. Like, I didn't really realize it until probably like, really like 2 years in, but I remember we used to be in like rookie with all the rookies in the first rounder. They used to always say, the only person here that should be comfortable is probably Marlon. And I used to be like, what do you mean? It took me a while to understand, like, when you're those later draft picks are undrafted, you just always have to be so disciplined. You always have to be so ready. There's never a time you can really, you know, it's a luxury to be drafted early, but it's such a grind and so much more pleasurable to be in this later round. You just got to be really on your P's and Q's. What do you think has been the biggest thing that's kept you around so long?
For me, it's just like I'm resilient as all get out. Like, I'm always been denied, and when I came in, they told me what I couldn't do and what I can't do, what I'm not able to do. You're not fast enough, you're not this enough. And for me, it's just every year I'm proving that I can do this. Like, I'm just as fast enough, I'm smart enough, I'm able to make plays, I'm still able to do this on a consistent level. And also for me, it's just the guys. I love this, man. I love football. I love this, you know, the week-to-week grind. I can't stand training camp. I can't stand training camp. I can't stand that part of it, you know, but I get that's the process of the game. But as far as if I could just forget that and just go like to the, you know, season grinding and week in and week out, studying for teams over and over, man, I love that part, live for that part. So then that way I can, like I said, I love to pass down every single thing, like knowledge or things I find with teams week to week, and give that to guys, like, and then go out there and execute on Sunday. It's just an exhilarating feeling. And then obviously to get a win like we did this past Sunday is just even better. So it's just to see the hard work throughout that week of preparation, watching tape and going through the mistakes and blah, blah, blah. And then you see it pays off on Sunday. It's just, for me, it's such a great feeling. I love that, and doing it for my guys each and every time I'm out there.
Yeah. I know you've been with four other teams. Tell me, how is it from going from kind of bouncing around from team to team? I know you have a, you know, wife, three kids. Mm-hmm. Do you take them with you? Are they in one place? I think a lot of people fail to realize it from just the fan perspective, like, oh, he just got traded to this team. Like, it's just such an easy, just, I just go. It's I go, my family goes, everything I got to learn. Talk to me about how was it from kind of going from those different places?
Oh, it was tough. Luckily, I spent a good amount of time early in my career at those places. I did three here, three in Detroit, then two in Arizona. But then this part was Baltimore, Cincinnati, and now Baltimore. So at least in those parts, luckily I was there long enough where we had a good foundation and stuff. And my kids were younger. So it's still tough to transition, because like when I first went to Detroit, I was actually here on practice squad, and then Detroit picked me up. And I kid you not, this is the craziest conversation ever. I was frustrated because I went from a starter the year before and then the practice squad the next year for like two games, three games, wherever I was here. And I was frustrated I wasn't playing, blah, blah, blah. And my wife was like, it could be any better. It could be somewhere in Detroit. And I kid you not, not even, that was the next day. It was Sunday night. We was talking. Monday morning, I get a call. I'm like, well, Detroit, like, what is this? And I answer the phone, and it was Detroit's like, oh, we're trying to pretty much bring you here on our practice squad, blah, blah, blah. And I told my wife, and she was like, are you serious? It was like, I was like, yeah, honey, you probably kind of said this in existence the night before. And ironically, I'm about to go to Detroit. But we was pregnant with my second son. So it was like, what do we do from us transition from Baltimore to Detroit? And yeah, that whole process was a lot. So eventually it ended up coming. And we just had to figure it out on the run. And that's just part of the process. And I just think my wife is just super amazing. I'm glad she's, like, you know, a part of my life, because to be able to tolerate the moving and being here, being there, not necessarily stable in a sense as far as, like, you know, yourself, but, like, you know, and being along the ride the whole entire time, like, and, you know, and not really miss a beat is just, like, I give my wife all the praise and glory for sure.
So hopefully this answers the way I would like it to go. These four other teams, which place has kind of been your favorite place to be at?
My favorite place? The one that I actually spent the time in the most in my whole entire career, which I believe it was the Baltimore.
Oh, nice,
so
nice.
I just wanted to make sure I put that out.
Okay, nice.
No, this is the best place. That's why I never ever wanted to leave this place, but you know how the business goes. It's part of it. But this place has just been home for me, my family, my kids, even my 2-year-old now. All he does is every time he sees a Raven, he just says daddy. He equates the Ravens to daddy only. He don't see any other team. Anytime he say daddy, every time he sees the Ravens, and just to see like the bond here and being here, just is just totally different than any other team. And that's why, like I said this last year, like this place is. Like, I believe in this purple and black all day. This is my home. This is my family, and I don't want to be anywhere else. And this is the best organization in the world.
So, football comes and goes, obviously. What is Josh? Well, who is Josh Bynes? I mean, you've been playing for a while. I don't know how much longer you want to play, but 5 years down the line, what is Josh Bynes doing post football career?
Post football wise. I have a lot of things in mind. I wouldn't mind being a coach. I wouldn't mind being a football analyst. I just love and understand the game on just a different level in this. I would love to get, you know, give that insight out so people are like, oh, you know, kind of like my guy Dan Orlovsky. You know, kind of does it for the offense, but I'd be on the defensive side doing that on another level. You know what I mean? And also, outside of that, cooking. Me and my wife love that, bro. We love to cook.
Wow, interesting.
Love to cook. You know, if you see, I haven't posted as much like I usually do in the previous off seasons, but using off seasons on my stories, I always post like whatever I'm making, like I'm smoking, or I'm doing some kind of just whatever something we see on Food Network. That's just a thing we have. Me and my wife, a hobby. We love to make some crazy stuff at home.
We ought to cook for the guys.
Hey, yo, now you're going too far.
I mean, what are you?
No, I'm not.
I mean, golly, what are you doing?
Not cooking
here?
For y'all. No, I'm not.
That's crazy.
I'm not cooking for y'all.
If you ever want to bring something out,
But look, I make homemade pasta. I make cakes. I make whatever it is. My brine, my meats, or I smoke, or I kind of dibble and dabble wherever it is. And my boys, they're going to be spoiled rotten, so I don't know. You know, hopefully they find a great woman who can cook like me and my wife, because otherwise they're like, we barely ever have the same thing twice often in my house, because we try to make different stuff all the time, and you know, just enjoy food. That's one thing we do love.
Chef Bynes. all right, if you had to coach at a level, would there be any level you would steer clear of, whether it's high school, college, or NFL?
Oh, I'm steering clear of high school. I'm more of a college NFL kind of guy. I don't know if I have that kind of patience.
I'm a high school guy.
That's just me personally. I don't get nothing wrong. I just love I feel like the college level and the professional level is more my speed and what I could take for myself.
Yeah, I understand. So, three boys.
Yeah.
How old is your oldest?
My oldest is 12, and my Josh Jr., and my 7-year-old is Jace, and my 2-year-old is Jordy.
So when does football come into play for the boys? Are they itching to play football? I know when I was a kid, my mom would not let me play until maybe 6th grade or something like that. What is the vision? How are the kids?
So right now my oldest is in 7th grade, so he's playing tackle football. He started at 6th grade. And he's a taller, slim, like he's a tall little fat, but he's fast too though. He can run. I don't know where he get that from, but he can run. That's for sure. He can definitely run. And then my 7-year-old's on flag right now. We're holding him off because He a big dude. He a big kid. And we're scared. We put him in tackle right now. That's all he's going to ever do forever.
Oh, gosh.
So we just let him do his flag football right now. Both of them are in football season right now. So that's the challenge we talked about earlier as far as the family, because now they have the activities on Saturdays. And, you know, obviously I want to spend time with them on the weekend, but, you know, some Saturdays they aren't able to come up because I don't want to take away from their activities. Those are my boys. I want them to have their moments, their time. And whenever they have a time off or a weekend off in school or whatever, then, you know, they can come up here and whatever it is. But I don't want to have them stop their things because I'm still doing mine. And that's the challenge you have. And obviously, like I said, I have an amazing wife. I'm going to say that 1,000 times because she really is, to, you know, to be able to balance them having me and here and the boys there doing their thing and still finding the time to spend time with me and come up here when she can, or bring one kid or two or all three, whatever that's possible. And, you know, and creating that balance. And it takes a good team for sure.
Last question, and this is kind of a little bit dibbling back to the national championship team. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Super Bowl team and mm-hmm. this team now. What do you think are some similarities you see, or just similarities that the way you want to go to that Super Bowl team to where this current team you're on now?
The similarities are the fact that we're going through the stuff early. You know, we have a lot of adversity we're going through right now, a lot of things that or transpiring that's just going to build, because a lot of times a lot of people get caught up in this early phase of things. Even that year in 19 when we was here, we went, 2-2 in the first four. It was a lot of things still in that first four games, and all of a sudden it was that second and third quarter of the season when things started to stack up. And that's what it was for us during that Super Bowl year. Things was just stacking up in the right time and the right fashion. Yeah, you will like it all right then and there and now. But are we trying to get to the end game and win the Super Bowl, or are we trying to win the Super Bowl in the first 4 weeks of the season? Yeah. You know what I mean? So for that team, it was just like we stacked it each and every game, each and every quarter of the season, week to week. It took it as it came. And then when adversity struck, which that's going to happen for us in 19, happened the first four, and that year happened the last four. Well, we lost four out of the last five. Yeah. So whenever it happens, how are you going to respond? And at the same time, when you respond, are you going to be that resilient team, or are you going to be that team that give up? And that's what it's about. And I think this team is right now, we're going through some stuff right now, and it's just continuing to lay our foundation over and over and over and build that character, build that armor that we talk about and everything else. And then all of a sudden, it's going to be at the right time. And all of a sudden, it's like boom, boom, boom. And everything just starts to click and click. And it's just going to be flying. And before you know it, you know, we're going to be holding that Lombardi at the end of the season.
I'm hyped. I love it. Josh Vines, thank you very much, sir. Yeah,
appreciate you, bro.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And, not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.